I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gleago.
In the headlines, Supreme Court fixes 29th of this month to deliver judgment in 2012 presidential election petition. Two leading NPP members fined for criminal contempt. Media analyst rejects blame on media as promoters of bad language on airwaves. University of Ghana ready to admit first-year students. Egypt draws international condemnation for bloody crackdown of pro-Morsi protesters in Cairo. And Venezuelan President leads war against gangs stealing women's hair. But first, the summary with Naja Gleago.
The Supreme Court has slated the 29th of this month for judgment on the 2012 election petition. The date was chosen taking into consideration provisions of CI 75 that require the court to give judgment within 15 days after addresses by counsels of the parties involved. This came to light after the parties in the case met the judges yesterday for clarification. Meanwhile, NPP General Secretary Kwejo Osuefuye and Hobson Adoye were yesterday fined 7,000 Ghana cedis for contempt. A media analyst, Dr. Mesam Malgwe, says the media is not to be blamed for the bad language on the airwaves. He said it is important to scrutinize the kind of people who are given the opportunity to speak on issues and not to attack the media. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Dr. Malgwe cautioned politicians to be mindful of their utterances. University of Ghana says it is ready to admit fresh students in spite of UTAC strike. Speaking to Radio Ghana, its Director of Public Affairs, Mrs. Stella Amwa, said registration of continuing students has started online. And the crackdown on supporters of Egypt's ousted democratically elected president has attracted intense criticisms throughout the world. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry described the action by the security forces as despicable and a challenge to the reconciliation efforts. The UN and EU have equally condemned the event.
Peace candidate in the 2012 election,
in which three leading members of the NPP are challenging the declaration of President Mahama as the winner of the 2012 presidential election. The court fixed the date, taking into consideration provisions of CI 75 that require the court to give judgment within 15 days after their addresses. The parties on the 7th of this month gave their oral addresses, but had to return to court yesterday to enable the judges to seek clarification from them. At yesterday's sitting, the judges asked counsel for all the four parties for some explanations on their addresses. For the details, Bubukle Nogo and George Asikri.
On the 29th of December 2012, the chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwajo Afarijan, declared the presidential candidate of the NDC, John Dramani Mahama, as the outright winner of the election. Ahead of the declaration, the NPP had prevailed on the EC to delay the announcement, alleging some disparities between votes collated and those declared at the polling stations. Their argument was, however, dismissed for lack of sufficient evidence. The party then proceeded to file a petition at the Supreme Court. After all preliminary issues were settled, hearing of the substantive case began on the 17th of April. Principal witness for the petitioners, Dr. Mahmoud Baumia, laid bare their case that during the election, there were statutory and constitutional violations that substantially affected the result. All three respondents dismissed the allegation. In their address, lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, prayed the court to nullify more than 3 million votes from some 10,119 polling stations, which, when accepted by the court, will invalidate President Mahama's victory and make Nana Akufo-Addo the winner. At the penultimate hearing, the judges sought explanations from counsel on issues raised in their addresses. These were some of the clarifications offered by counsel. First, Philip Addison on the exact number of pink sheets filed and the role of serial numbers at polling stations.
My lord, the original number of polling stations that the petitioners were relying on was 11,842. These polling stations were fully set out in the further and better particulars, together with the various infractions, so that each polling station was identified together with its infraction in the further and better particulars. Subsequent to that, there have been various reductions. First, the 704 that the petitioners voluntarily deleted. And then down the line, after various reviews, the petitioners decided not to rely on some of these pink sheets. And eventually, it came down to 10,119 polling stations.
Mr. Chikata was asked to, among other things, explain what he meant by retroactive penalization of voters if results were annulled due to non-signing of pink sheet.
The case that we quoted from, it is the case in which Mr. Edward Akufo-Addo's election as president was being challenged by Mr. Joe Appiah. And one of the bases of the challenge was that, the main basis in fact, was that certain regulations in respect of the conduct of the election had not been complied with. The Court of Appeal, presided over by the Acting Chief Justice, first of all, determined that on the evidence that was brought before the court, the electoral processes for the various houses of chiefs and so on, those electoral processes had actually taken place. My lord, there was also a very significant observation of their lordships in respect of the changing account of the petitioner in that case, what exactly they were bringing to court. The court noted that that itself was part of the weakness of their case.
Mr. Tony Letha was quizzed on his position regarding biometric verification.
My lord, as Dr. Farijan testified to in the witness box, the biometric verification is a process. It starts first with the biometric registration, by which biometric data is captured. He took the court through the processes by which a party is identified for purposes of voting. And that process involves taking the card itself, which is a process of biometric registration, compare it to the face of the person, and then to check in the biometric register whether or not the person is duly registered to vote. In that register, which is also biometrically generated, the picture of the person is also there.
Mr. James Kwashi Aidan was, for his part, asked to explain his comments regarding statutory consequences of electoral irregularities.
The Representation of the People's Law, 1992, PNDC L284, as amended by the Representation of the People Amendment Law 1992, PNDC Law 296, to apply to any public elections in its section 22B, provides as follows, quote, where at the hearing of an election petition, the High Court finds that there has been failure to comply with the provision of this Act or the regulations, and the High Court further finds, one, that the election was conducted in accordance with this Act and the regulations, and two, that the failure did not affect the result of the election of the successful candidate shall not, because of the failure, be void, and the successful candidate shall not be subject to an incapacity under the Act or the regulations.
The stage is now set. Come 29th of this month, judgment will be delivered. But the question lingering on the minds of Ghanaians and indeed the international community is, in which direction will the judgment go? Time certainly will tell.
Bubukli Nogu and Georgia Secrets report.
Lead counsel for the petitioners challenging the 2012 presidential election results, Philip Addison, has described the presidential election petition as his biggest and most difficult case in his many years of practice. Speaking to the media after yesterday's proceedings, Mr. Addison said he heaved a great sigh of relief but fell short of predicting the outcome of the case. Bubu Klinogo posed a few questions to Mr. Addison. First, his impression about the case.
I feel a big relief, you know, because it's been long in coming. We've been at this since December, and I'm happy that at long last it has ended. I mean, every day has been a memorable day. Every day has been something new. Well, there were several rulings against me. I don't think they were low points at all. It's part of the game. You win some, you lose some. Yeah.
How has the whole experience been like?
Of course, this is in fact the first real petition we've had in this country. So it's a whole new ball game. So it's in fact an experience. It's been quite an eye-opening, and I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from it, and I hope others too have learned a lot.
This is the difficult case you've ever handled.
It's the biggest, and I believe it's a very difficult case. You can see it involves a lot of data. Yes, it's a case that cannot be handled by one person. You need a lot of people to us.
What happens next?
Well, we're going to wait for the judgment of 29. We'll see which way it will go, and that will determine the future course.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how confident are you that your side will win the case?
I will not venture to go there.
Lead counsel for petitioners Philip Addison in that interview with Bubu Klinogo.
The national chairman of the NPP, Jacob Echebilamte, has expressed the hope that the party supporters will take the verdict to be delivered by the Supreme Court in good faith, no matter which direction it goes. Speaking to Bubu Klinogo, Mr. Echebilamte said it is only normal for people to feel bad when they lose a court case, but the most important thing is for the supporters to move forward in the event that the case does not go their way.
It's been a learning process for everybody. This has never happened before. So there's been some ups and downs and whatever. But I don't think anybody who has sat through this for the number of months that we have, and then you come out of it and you realize how tired you are, how drained you are by having to concentrate. I think at the end of the day, we will find that this has been a good experience for Ghana, that our judges will show a real understanding of the law and of their conscience and of the vows that they took to administer justice.
Are you confident in the process so far, and how are you preparing yourself as a participant in this for Judgment Day 29?
Well, you know, there's my truth, your truth, and the real truth in many instances. So you go to court to establish what the real truth is. Okay, and when you go, you have faith in your case. The other side have faith in their case. You present your arguments, and then the judges will rule. So we just have to be patient. 15 more days. We've been at this thing since, what is it, December 28th. In 15 days' time, we will hear the verdict that they will come out with, and I believe what will have happened will have been a real strengthening of Ghana's democracy. I'm very proud of the role that the MPP once again has played in deepening the democracy of this country.
It doesn't go your way, would you accept?
If you go to court, you're going to court because you're saying that the court should adjudicate. So what is there to not accept? If the court comes and rules against you, you hold your head, you say ouch or whatever, and then you get on with life. If the court rules for you, you say thank goodness, and then you get on with life.
How are you preparing your many supporters to accept the verdict, whatever way it comes out?
Our supporters have said it from the beginning. They had the opportunity. They had the opportunity when we gathered at the Obra spot to go out onto the streets and vent their anger and their rage. We told them that, look, the party has decided to go to court, and they accepted and they cheered the decision to go to court. They have been supportive of the whole thing about going to court. That's why the whole country has been listening every day, glued to their television sets, because we are all of us connected into this court matter. I don't think there's a single Ghanaian who really believes that if the court says that they don't agree with you, you are going to do anything about it. And if there is a Ghanaian out like that, then that Ghanaian will be silenced by the whole majority that will say, no, we've been through this, we'll be happy with whatever the judges come out to say.
That was National Chairman of the NPP, Jacob Echebilamte, talking to Bubu Klinogo.
And still at the court, the General Secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Uso Efuye, also known as Sir John, and a member of the party's communication team, Hobson Adoye, have narrowly escaped imprisonment after the Supreme Court found them guilty of criminal contempt. Mr. Uso Efuye was, however, fined 5,000 cedis, or in default, go to jail for 6 months. is also to sign a bond to be of good behavior for 6 months or spend 6 months in prison if he defaults. Mr. Adui was fined 2,000 cedis or 3 months in imprisonment in default. Is also to sign a bond to be of good behavior or go to jail for 3 months in default. The two were last Friday summoned to appear before the Supreme Court yesterday to explain why they should not be imprisoned for their contemptuous comments. They were represented in court by a former Minister of Justice and Attorney General, Ayikwe Otu, who pleaded for leniency on their behalf. Bubukli Nugo and George Asikri's report.
Since the initial stages of the presidential election petition hearing, the court has warned the public, including lawyers, journalists and politicians, to desist from misreporting on court proceedings as well as comments that bring the court into disrepute. On the 24th of June, the court gave what is now known as the final touchline warning, after which any offender was to be dealt with according to the law. As a result, three individuals have suffered some form of punishment. Whereas a deputy communication director of the NPP, Samuel Awuku, was banned from attending the court proceedings, a member of the NEC communication team, Stephen Atubiga, was sentenced to 3 days in jail, while the editor of the Daily Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, was sentenced to 10 days in jail. Subsequent to that, the court, on the 8th of July, cited Sir John and Hobson Adoye following a publication in some newspapers. The court then gave indication that it was going to investigate the report and take the necessary action. Since then, nothing has been heard until last week Friday, when the summons for the two popped up in the media. Sir John was accused of using insulting words on the judges and threatening some of them with death. Mr. Adoye, for his part, reportedly said the heads of NDC supporters will be chopped off if the court dismissed the petition. Even before the two appeared in court, NPP supporters in various parts of the country held vigil to pray for them. Their lawyer, former Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Ayikwe Otu, means no words in condemning their comments. He also upheld the immense powers the Supreme Court has to punish people for contempt, but he was quick to plead for mercy on behalf of his clients, especially that the day fall on his birthday. Mr. Ayikwe Otu asked for a pleasant birthday present that will be a non-custodial sentence for his clients.
A lawyer of his standing, my colleagues on the bench, you said he asked me. They say he's a good lawyer. I have no reason to doubt it. If that is so, why should a lawyer of all people, you have made your mark to be what you are through the courts, the legal system, you turn around on whatever, what can enter a lawyer of so many years standing to run down the judiciary, even the apex court? Then the seriousness of the matter, that some people have grown cold too much in this country, and we want to match the power of the state against those people so that they will see how strong they are and how weak the state can be.
Madam, we have said that the power is yours. There's no doubt at all about that.
What does he mean?
Taking many factors into consideration, including appeals from various quarters and the need to keep the peace of the nation, the court reluctantly fell short of imposing jail terms on the two. Many praise Mr. Ayikwe Otu for the way he approached the case, which largely contributed to the decision arrived at. Radio Ghana later caught up with Mr. Ayikwe Otu to explain the strategy he used to get a favorable judgment from the court.
Your duty when your client is facing a criminal trial is to do everything possible to get him out of prison. So once I achieve that, I think I'm more than satisfied.
Was it the best birthday package you expected?
I think so. I mean, otherwise it would have spoiled the entire birthday to me. I can't pop champagne. So I'm extremely happy and grateful to them.
How did you manage to get this judgment for your client?
Well, it's a matter of strategy. I mean, if your client is facing contempt proceedings and you come to argue with the bench, you know, showing them what is wrong with whatever they have done, you are infuriating them. Remember that in contempt proceedings, you are already, deemed to be guilty. So your duty is to show cause why you should not be committed to prison. This is not the time for you to come and tell them what the law is. Your duty as much as possible is to mitigate, you know, whatever it is that they say you have done and ensure that nobody sends you to prison. So I believe I did just that, and I'm very happy with the results.
It is the hope of many that the posture of the court will go a long way to reigning sanity on the media airways, especially as the country awaits the final judgment on the 29th of this month.
Bubu Klinogo and George Asikri filed that report.
Meanwhile, the 7,000 Ghana cedi penalty slapped on NPP General Secretary Kojo Owusu-Efiri and Hobson Adoye has been paid. The man was paid to the court's registry by a leading member of the party, PC Apiafuri. A member of the NPP legal team, Michael Kwe Jr., disclosed this to Radio Ghana at the party's headquarters, where jubilant supporters had gathered to welcome Mr. Owusu-Efiri and Hobson Adoye. Doreen Ampofu was there and reports.
Prior to the arrival, the NPP headquarters was already filled with excitement, but it moved a notch higher as Mr. Owusu-Efiri and Hobson Adoye came out of their vehicles. The admina was calm but one of victory, and as a sign of that, party faithful poured powder on them. Initially, they were not allowed to talk to anyone as they were whisked to the General Secretary's office. But after some time, the party General Secretary Kwejo Owusu-Efiri said a few words.
Let's give thanks to God for how far he has brought us. The bigger victory is coming soon. For about a week, you have prayed and fasted for us. We thank you. Be steadfast, for our hard work will not be in vain. God will fight for us.
According to a member of the NPP legal team, Mike Okwe Jr., the two men are completely free as the penalty slapped on them had been paid.
We are very happy about the fact that he's been given this amnesty, I should say. He was punished but not put into jail. And you can see that Sir John did something which was very important in this context, in that he purged himself of the wrong that he had done by issuing the guidelines in advance. And so on that note, we would just like to say thank you very much to God for touching the hearts of the judges. This is a very serious lesson that politicians should learn, that we should speak circumspectly. Thanks be to God. Mr. PC Apiafuri, I went upstairs with Sir John and Hobson to go and sign the bond. I was going to witness as their surety. Lo and behold, Mr. Apiafuri appeared with his checkbook and has paid the 7,000 on their behalf.
The two have also signed the bond to be of good behavior.
Doreen Ampofu reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Supreme Court fixes 29th of this month to deliver judgment in the 2012 presidential election petition. Two leading NPP members signed for criminal contempt. Media analysts reject blame on media as promoters of bad language on airwaves. University of Ghana ready to admit first-year students. Egypt draws international condemnation for bloody crackdown of pro-Morsi protesters in Cairo, and Venezuelan president leads war against gangs stealing women's hair.
And still at the court, the Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Kofi Adams, said the judge's decision was not a bad one, and said the NDC has made it clear to its communication team that the party will not support anyone who commits such an offence.
The justices of the Supreme Court sitting on this election petition, who thought that Sir John made a contemptuous statement, have tampered what we usually call justice with mercy by giving him a more of a fine and a suspended sentence to be of good behavior, failing which he will go in for a certain number of months. So I would say that it was okay. It wasn't a bad decision. They were willing to kind of possibly forgive and see if really the mitigating or the appeal that his counsel put out there was really truthful. They are going to monitor him over a certain period to see how he will speak. So what it means, therefore, is that for Sir John himself to be very careful what he says in the next 6 months, because there is a suspended sentence hanging on him. Our party has always been very careful as to how it speaks on matters. We've always been guided by the principle of truth and ability to prove when it comes to communication, our party programs and everything out there. And when it comes to the issue of the court, we have always advised our persons to be careful of making contemptuous statements, and that if you do any such thing, we will not come out there to really support you because we believe in rule of law. So it's more of a learning process for us, and it's good for us as a party because we have always been civil in our discussion, and most of the time our supporters get provoked that we've been quiet, we've been civil, and the people you are engaging with are descending into the gutter. Why won't you? So if really what the judiciary have started can even be brought further to appear even in your programming, in your discussions, how you allow people even on your program, it will allow for some decency to prevail. And we are all out for it.
Kofi Adams is a deputy NDC general secretary.
A media analyst, Dr. Mesa Maugbe, thinks it is out of place for a cross-section of the public to put the blame on the media as being promoters of bad utterances on the airways. He said it is important to scrutinize the kind of people who are given the chance to air their opinions on issues and not attack the media. Dr. Maugbe, however, cautioned politicians to be mindful of their utterances and also host of programs to keep people they invite on their platform in check.
Registration of university students has begun, even though members of the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAC, have not returned to the lecture halls. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Director of Public Affairs of the University of Ghana, Stella Amoa, said registration of continuing students has started online, but the university is waiting for the master list of students to admit freshmen. If the university receives the list, registration of first-year students will begin. We bring you more in this report by Victoria Ahaji.
UTAG members withdrew their services on Thursday, August 1, to back demands for the payment of their arrears and their allowances. Due to the online registration, a lot of students were not found on the campus. According to Mrs. Amoa, the school will be able to accommodate students who will be admitted in the school. On the number of first-year students which the school will admit, Mrs. Amoa said it will depend on the master list by WAEC.
As a university, we are going to increase graduate admissions 15%. With the undergraduate, we may not have a significant increase in admissions. What we are expecting as a university is that the trend has been that a little over 50% who are admitted ultimately enroll. We are hoping that because of the peculiar problem or challenge we have now, many more applicants who we admit will enroll. As a university, if we have admitted 10,000 people and in the past 5,000 have enrolled, if we get the same figures and, for example, 7,000 enroll, we should be able to take care of them.
Mrs. Amoa was optimistic that UTAG members will return to the lecture hall before the end of registration, which is August 23. From the University of Ghana, I went to the University of Professional Studies where I spoke to the Director of Academic Affairs, Daniel Bukari. He told me that registration will begin on Monday, August 19. Mr. Bukari said the school will admit 2,000 first-year students. On whether the school has the facilities to absorb these students, he said yes.
The registration for freshmen will start on the 19th of August. That will begin on Monday and it will run through for a week. Then thereafter, we'll have the continuing students who will come and then they will start from 26th up to 30th of August for their registration. For freshmen, we are targeting about 2,000. We have already said we are going to take 100%, so we don't have any problems at all with that. We have the facility and we are confident of what we said.
Mr. Bukari noted that if members of UTAC do not suspend their strike after the registration, then the school will have no choice than to close down for some time.
Victoria Ahaji filed that report.
Calls continue to go to Ghanaians not to do anything that has a tendency to disrupt the peace the country is currently enjoying, especially after the Supreme Court verdict on the 2012 election petition. The latest to add his voice to such calls is the presiding prelate of the West African Episcopal District of the AME Zion Church, Right Reverend Dr. Seth Latte. He was speaking at the opening of the 114th session of the East Ghana Annual Conference of the Church in Accra. The 4-day conference is on the theme, Building a Legacy with God for Such a Time Like This.
I have said that the church community, the community at large, that we need to look to the future for the peace, the growth, and the prosperity of this country. Every minute counts. Every action counts. And so whatever comes out of the Supreme Court, that we should abide by it. I want to thank all of the parties for how they have conducted themselves so far. And let them now encourage their constituencies to please govern themselves accordingly. Let not the losers become so angry that they want to attack the winners. And let not the winners become so arrogant that they want to make the losers as though they are failures.
You heard the prelate of the West African Episcopal District of the AME Zion Church, Right Reverend Dr. Seth Latte.
And now to the foreign fronts. There's been strong international condemnation of the deadly crackdown against protest camps in the Egyptian capital, Cairo. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the events are deplorable and a real blow to reconciliation efforts. EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon also deployed the use of force on the protesters.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has called on the police to act against gangs which are stealing women's hair. The thieves sell the hair, sometimes stolen at gunpoint, to salons where it is used for extensions and wigs. Attacks appear to be on the rise, especially in the country's second largest city, Maracaibo.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The Supreme Court has slated the 29th of this month for judgment on the 2012 election petition. The date was chosen taking into consideration provisions of CI 75 that require the court to give judgment within 15 days after the addresses by councils of the parties involved. And the Director of Public Affairs at the University of Ghana, Mrs. Stella Amwa, says the school is ready to admit fresh students in spite of UTAC strike. She made this known in an interview with Radio Ghana. The news was presented by Najak Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.